Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh. My man.
Mavericks and the Suns right now, 86-84 early in the fourth. No Luka Doncic. It does not matter. The Mavericks hanging tough with the Suns, 11-3 so far on the season. And look at this. Who is leading the way for
Say
the Dallas
it.
Mavericks?
Say my name.
Tim Hardaway. Jalen Brunson, Willie
and his name is John C.
Here we go.
Kristaps Porzingis has 20 points and 7 rebounds to lead the Mavericks.
Dingus, is he the Latviander or Latvian Sean?
This may be his greatest moment as a Dallas Maverick. That night that Luka was out and I led the team in scoring as we played the Suns tough. Wait, that's your great moment? Yes, that's what I have. All the rest of the time I was injured and you know, Luka doesn't really like me, and I really have underwhelmed here in Dallas. But this night, right now, this may be the best it's been for Kristaps Porzingis in Dallas.
I have seen so many trade rumors with him where you might as well start photoshopping him into all jerseys. Go back to the Knicks. I mean, I've seen so many permutations. It's not even funny. Averaging 19.4 per game, 7.9 rebounds. The rebounds are at his career average. The scoring slightly above. And really, as we know, it all comes down to health. Look at his career games. 72 as a rookie, 66, 48, 57. And that was after missing a year. 57,
yeah.
43, and now 9. He's 9 for 9 to start this year, so that's good.
Yeah, he is. Look, you never know when he's going to be healthy. You can't trust that he's going to be healthy. He can't be your second best player. If he's your second best player, it doesn't work. And you didn't see the guy really take that next step. He's the same player he was that he was 4 years ago. And in theory, that's okay, but there's lots of guys that can go 19-8 in the NBA. There's lots of guys who can do that. It's not like there's only a few of them. It's like, oh, but Bryce Harper, 35-84. There's like 30 guys that go 35.
You got to stop trying to relitigate that. He won the MVP. Accept it and move on.
What happened. So by your philosophy, then Kristaps Porzingis is the NBA MVP.
Who said that?
If there's 30 guys like Bryce Harper and there's 30 guys like Porzingis, if Bryce Harper wins the MVP, then Porzingis wins the MVP.
Can I tell you why Porzingis is an outlier?
Okay, go ahead. Tell me why.
Because he's 7'3" and takes outside shots.
ergo,
he
does make two a game.
He could be the MVP.
He's a unicorn. There he is. That's what he is.
Yeah, no, he's the lizard. Standalone kind of guy. There you have it.
He's the lizard. So that's what's happening in the NBA right now. We'll have more on the big nights from Golden State and the lack of a big night from the Lakers against the Celtics coming up in a few minutes. But how about some bold predictions for this week in the NFL?
Oh, I love it. Let's do that.
Some bold predictions for this week.
We haven't screamed about randomness like this in a while, so
this
let's
is
go.
Fun, right? Because I'm looking at the games and I'm going, oh, this is how this team is going to win. This is how this team is going to win. First, let's kick it off with a guy we spent a lot of time talking about this week, and that's Baker Mayfield, right? It's the Lions, right? I mean, it's the Lions, and they're
playing 11.5, buddy,
and they're playing a backup quarterback. I mean, a guy is it David Doyle who's playing quarterback for the Lions this week?
That's pretty good.
You like that?
Pretty good deep cut there. I know it's the great Tim Boyle.
Oh, Tim Boyle. Okay. Is it Denny Doyle who is playing for the
Wow. Denny Doyle reference? Are you kidding me? I mean, there's like five guys that would get that. Steve's one of them. We could probably call up Jeff Garland. Curb Your Enthusiasm, huge sports fan, Chicago fan, but he lives on those 70s top sets. So we can get him in. But no, was Tim Boyle from Connecticut.
Crabb and Goyle who were playing quarterback?
Goyle, was Goyle the guy that got fired? Who was the guy that got fired because of the weed?
Oh, yes. That was when they brought in Blaze Zabini. Yes, yes. That was who got fired. Yes. They kept Crabb, got rid of Goyle.
Crabb was the guy that got...
They kept Goyle and got rid of Crabb. And that's why Goyle is starting this week.
Nice. No, that's
okay,
good.
Very good. All right. Very good.
Is it really just a case where Jared Goff's a little bit banged up? So they just kind of fix the glitch.
This is a week that Baker Mayfield and the Browns have to win, right? We've talked about Baker Mayfield has one more bad game left before he gets replaced by Case Keenum. That's how close he is to losing his job. And I'll give you a big, bold prediction from Baker Mayfield this week. They're playing the Lions, and the Lions are playing a backup quarterback. It may wind up actually being better for them than Jared Goff, so there is that possibility. But Chubb is back this week. They are going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. And I will tell you, Baker Mayfield will throw less than 20 passes this week as the Browns just have one of those, we're going to control the game all day, run for 250 yards, and he will throw less than 20 passes this week, and he will keep his job for one more week because they will have beaten the Lions through no fault and or help from Baker Mayfield, but he doesn't play terrible. So I'll tell you, under 20 passes, and he keeps his job for this week.
Ooh, I like that. That's a bold proclamation. Although the fact that he is so beaten up, as he told us, I mean, should he really be attempting more than 20 passes anyway?
But he can't not play because if Case Keenum plays and Case Keenum is good, guess what? Baker Mayfield's not getting the job back. So he's got to play. They got to play and find some way to win and so he can keep his job for one more week. But they'll blow less than 20. They will not throw the ball and not allow Baker Mayfield to lose this game because they're just spinning their wheels right now. The Browns have no idea where to go, what to do, if they be completely inviting panic into the season. But they kind of have to at this point because Mayfield is not going to suddenly, hey, one week he turns into a superstar and now he's going to close the week with 8 straight weeks of 3 touchdowns. That's not going to happen. So they're going to limit him this week. They're going to run the football a ton. He throws the football less than 20 times.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you've got the 55% of participants in a Yahoo picks against the spread group have picked the Lions to beat the number. So you got that going for you.
Bold prediction number two, and this has a lot to do with your Chicago Bears.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson.
Are you going to play defense?
No. Yes, I'm starting.
Someone needs to play defense for them.
I'm starting at strong safety. If I was younger, I could play free safety or cornerback, but I don't have the speed, so I need to play up in the box. Right. So I'll be a box safety, and I'll play strong on Sunday.
No, but they go out of their way, and I'll tie it to you. They signed Bruce Irvin today.
Yeah.
And then subsequently announced Khalil Mack is done for the year. With the foot injury and off to surgery and everything, Trevathan is out. Everybody else is banged up. Eddie Jackson, game time, all of this. But you signed Bruce Irvin? Really? That's the move that's going to shore up the defense?
Hey, that's a great move like 5 years ago.
Five? I think that's being generous. I'd have to go back and look at the stats, but it seems to me that's a little further in the past.
You think it is? You think it's not five?
Beyond five.
Let me see what Bruce Irvin's year was 5 years. So 2016 is what we're going to look at?
Yeah.
Let's see. Bruce Irvin's 2016 year. 2016, Oakland, 16 starts. He led the league with 6 forced fumbles. It wasn't a bad year for Bruce
Irvin.
No,
that's good. That means for 6 plays, he was great.
He had 7 sacks.
Okay.
So not a bad year. That's okay. Once you get to 2018, that's...
Fine.
Either
way, all right. We're still hitting the rewind button because I know Ahmad Rashad celebrated a birthday this week. He turned 72. So we had to get a rewind reference. But anyway, Bears Baltimore. Go ahead.
Here you go. Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields combined for 200 yards rushing. And I don't
supposed
mean
to
like,
rain. 75% chance of rain on.
I don't
Sunday
mean like Lamar Jackson's
going
to get 175 and then Justin Fields will get 25. I mean, it'll be a pretty good sharing of that burden.
Were you going back to the throwing back to that DiMaggio reference?
Yeah. This is when Dom and Vince DiMaggio combined for 3,600 hits in Major League Baseball history. No, this is going to be a lot of fun because look, Justin Fields is starting to turn the corner a bit. He has talked about the importance of this game and how well he respects Lamar Jackson. You know he wants to show out in front of him. And the Bears know that, all right, it's time to turn the offense over to him. Conversely, Lamar Jackson's going to bounce back and have his way with the Bears defense. So, yeah, 200 yards rushing combined for both of them in the game on Sunday.
Here's the really crazy thing, right? You only have one quarterback that can really take advantage of the deficiency of the other's defense. And I mentioned all the Bears being banged up. They give up a lot of big pass plays. So now for Hollywood Brown and for Rashad Bateman, opportunity knocks. Even Andrews running down the seam, the opportunity is going to be there. And for Lamar to deliver. But obviously the Bears also still rate as one of the best sack total squads here through the first 10 weeks. So they can get home, but Lamar's elusive, extend plays, and now you've got guys breaking containment in the back end. Yeah, it could be a long day. As for Chicago, I mean, we know the Ravens can't cover long passes. Hell, half the time you complete a pass beyond 20 yards, there's no defender on the television screen. I mean, we've seen that time and time again.
Where's the defender? Can't even see him. It's one of those plays. All right.
So it's one of those where I wouldn't be surprised, assuming it's not just a torrential downpour and one of those really miserable things that you've got to work through, to see Justin Fields rolling out and trying to find Mooney and or Marquise Goodwin a couple times deep. Just to say, we know how bad you are. So even though our offense generally doesn't do this, we're going to try today. Oh, we're going to try. But, yeah, the 200 rushing yards, I like that. That's ambitious and crazy, and it just might work.
All right, now, if I'm going big with that one, yeah. I'm going to go small with this one. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. It will be tool time. There's been nobody hotter in the NFL than him the last couple of weeks. The Bills hold him to under 50 yards rushing for the game. Less than
great.
50
you, did you listen
Jonathan
to the
Taylor.
I Want Your Flex podcast?
No. How was it this week?
Well, I talked about Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Did you really talk about
probably,
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I named him my top cold sore of the, hey, you're still starting him, but this is a game where you're probably cringing and wishing for some deep pass interference to save your fantasy day.
I mean, look, this is how good the Bills' defense is, and I will always take the great defense over the great running back. You don't always take the great defense over the great quarterback, but the great defense over the great running back, yeah, especially when Carson Wentz is the guy throwing passes. He hasn't turned the ball over, but he's going to on Sunday. Look, the Colts have kind of a fun last couple weeks, thinking, okay, maybe we can be that team we thought we were. No, they get a big dose of reality back with the Buffalo Bills. They won't score, and they'll get blown out, and Jonathan Taylor Thomas less than 50 yards rushing.
I mean, in the end, who you letting beat you? You're not letting that ground game get you. If Carson Wentz is going to have a day against your secondary and try you downfield, you'll take the loss that way as opposed to allowing those road grinders to take care of business. All right, let me give you a couple on the other side.
Go ahead. Give me a couple, buddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, we look at that San Francisco-Jacksonville game. San Francisco's 6.5-point favorites. And Jacksonville, you know, we've talked a lot about Trevor Lawrence. I know it's one of the long-term talking points that just sits out there that I think you've been on, and certainly I've alluded to it a few times where you get to work in anonymity. Here it's going to be a disaster. And San Francisco's going down there. And even though it's Jimmy G and you don't like him, I'll lay the heavy points there and push that to a whole other level. Not that that's tremendously bold based on the spread, but people keep thinking that the 49ers are going to stub their toe. I still got Debo Samuel and George Kittle. Even if I don't have Elijah Mitchell because of the finger injury, I can still make some noise even on the road. Not a trap game, as many would love to tell you. As for one of the other, that's a high over-under total, looking at Cincy and Las Vegas. I think I want to punt in terms of trying to pick the game. But Joe Burrow has been fantastic on the road, so why wouldn't that continue here?
Oh, yeah, that, right? Tons of points in that one. I love a shootout in that game.
No, I think Cincinnati rolls them.
Oh,
I think this
wow.
is where they get back on the horse.
Wow.
And the team that defensively, I think, is where we – because we've seen Burrow still make plays, right? Mixon, Jamar Chase, all those guys. Against the Raiders, they'll be able to make plays. Defensive line for the Raiders, hit and miss as to whether they're getting home. Much like we talk about the Bengals, because we were really liking that defense for a while. But with Derek Carr, I think they bludgeon him pretty early. And you know what? He turtles.
Oh, you gave him a turtle on Friday night.
Yep.
One turtle for Derek Carr.
Wow. No. You get four turtles, Glenn Coco.
Four for Derek Carr.
And,
so there it is.
Yeah, the last one is just Seattle wins. Wins at home. Arizona coming in. Kyler Murray with the game time decision. I don't think he plays. Because the Rams lost on Monday. I think it's going to be Colt McCoy again.
Yep, I completely agree. It's going to be tough to say we're going to throw him out there. I think it's one more week to get better.
Well, and they have the bye next week.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you're talking about another week to get better and another week after that before he returns. Yeah, I have a tough time seeing Kyler Murray playing on Sunday.
Yeah, Rams getting bludgeoned like they did helped.
That helped, yeah, because it makes it easier to say, okay, we don't need it because we still have the inside track. We still have everything in front of us. We know how good we are. We can get home field advantage. We can rest Kyler and give him two more full weeks of getting better.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Jason Smith, my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Oh. Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And NBA tonight, Phoenix now on the cusp of a win over Dallas. They hung tough without Luka Doncic, but the Suns are going to win. They're up by 10 with 45 seconds left to go in the NBA tonight to get to for a few minutes here. And the first one is we watched Boston beat the Lakers 130-108 tonight in LeBron James's return. And LeBron had an okay night coming back. He shot the ball really well, 23-6, couple of assists, But the Lakers just got boat raced in the fourth quarter, really in the third quarter, when the Lakers decided to, well, I don't want to say not play defense, but kind of understand we really can't play defense. The Celtics had so many uncontested layups where whether it was Tatum or Smart or Schroeder who would just lose their man and get to the hoop for a layup, and it was stunning to watch the Lakers' defense play this poorly. And we knew they weren't going to play that well defensively, but my goodness. I mean, this is where it suddenly kind of hits you between the eyes. And for a Lakers team that I thought, hey, they're playing pretty well, they're getting there, this was a huge step back to the point where, okay, if they're around 500 now, LeBron has just come back. It's going to take them another few games to figure it out. They're probably going to still be around 500 by game 30. The narrative of the Lakers is going to change. And the narrative, which starts with how long will it take these guys to gel? How long will they figure out Russell Westbrook? How long will they do it? And still I'm watching the Lakers do the same thing. LeBron bringing the ball up, Russell Westbrook on the wing. He'll get the ball for a three, and he'll take it and miss because he's not a great shooter. I don't see how the Lakers are going to eventually break out if they continue to run the team this way. And you know, Frank Vogel has so many different permutations of players to play at the time. And that, it really, I've said from the beginning, it will be fine for the Lakers when they let Russell Westbrook do his thing. That's kind of what they need to have happen. He needs a couple of possessions off. That's when LeBron takes it up. But this was still, LeBron has it. And I've seen half the time it was Russell Westbrook in the corner. I don't see how this is going to work. I don't see how that part of it's going to work. And so the narrative now is going to change from how long till this group gets it to how long do you give this group until you realize we have to dump some players and make trades and make a change, because LeBron James is not getting any healthier. He's already been hurt twice this year. He's been hurt every year the Lakers have had him. So you know that his window is dwindling. You don't know how much he's going to be able to play the rest of the way, how long he can stay in the lineup from time to time. Is it going to be just long stretches of absences and you're hoping he's healthy for the beginning of the playoffs. The Lakers' window with LeBron James is just shrinking by the second. And how long are they going to give it before they say, okay, you know what, LeBron, you tried your hand at being a GM. It didn't really work. So now we're going to go do some other things. Like, how long do they give it until they try to make a move and a bold one to say, let's change the energy. Let's make a move for a player who's unhappy. We'll be able to trade some salary. We'll do whatever you need to make this work. And that's what they do. And suddenly this is not this Laker team anymore. It's something that's incredibly different, because that's now the narrative, is how long do you give it until you pull the plug and say, let's go get somebody else. We can't waste this year for LeBron James.
Well, and that's the curiosity, right, of the philosophical part of it. Because as LeBron was off and the team continued to struggle, that was the debate hanging out in the balance of, all right, LeBron James, and we've talked about it with Rick Bucher and our other NBA experts, Dan Wojcicki among them, of the, you know, LeBron minutes. And how many heavy minutes are you playing, stressful minutes? Can you buy time? Well, defensively, they're terrible, right? Right now ranked 28th in the NBA points allowed per game at 112.3. The only two teams behind them, Memphis and Charlotte. Memphis gets a lot of run because of obviously of Ja Morant's play. Charlotte, let's talk about LaMelo Ball, and it's good, but nobody plays defense. But it's the philosophically, how do you work going forward? And it keeps coming back to, you know, you've got to change Russell Westbrook. Which is the easier path to go? And we've talked about it, you and I, Jason, a number of times. Wouldn't it seem that LeBron would be the guy to be the easier transition, recognizing what he needs to for his body, for one, so you can get that part of the psychological done to aid the physical? And that's an easier switch than, hey, Russ, after all these years, go and twiddle your thumbs until I get you involved in a play. Which do you think works better? I would suspect that LeBron starting to work a little further down on the block, turn around, spot, face up, whatever, is the way to go. And working off the ball and let Russell create probably would get you the flow offensively. Defensively, I don't know. Is Kendrick Nunn going to be the guy that suddenly fixes that? Probably not. The thing you're hoping here is all the warts you've seen from other teams, guys missing time here and there, a game, or guys that, you know, might just never show up in terms of, you know, larger production. You know, and I'm looking directly at Golden State, right? Because the assumption is Klay Thompson comes back in and it's Splash Brothers Revisited. We don't know that. Just because you see some Zapruder film of some workout, you'll never see him on a back-to-back night. So if you've got tickets for the second part of a back-to-back with the Lakers, just go get your money now. Sell them on resale. No, in all seriousness, unless you want to see Russ and AD, whatever. But if you were banking on seeing LeBron and, you know, owing to the Warriors and sitting guys out tonight and the crying that happens over that, just save yourself the pain. Because he ain't playing both ends. And I would guess that 90% of the time it's that second game of the back-to-back that's he'll sit out. But it's just a tough call for Frank Vogel now. You know, your hallmark has always been defense. You can't do that. You've got your superstar who, ever since he arrived in town, suddenly there's the chips. You know, and he's, you know, it's the Shawshank pieces of the wall getting left on the yard, except now it's a bit of LeBron, like he's part of the end game, and Thanos snap that little pieces are being left off. I don't feel so good. And game to game, you're wondering how much you're going to be able to tax him tonight. 32 minutes and a lot of smiles, even though they got drubbed on the bench. So physically, I guess he feels good, but how long does that last? And how do you manage that? This is one of the great jobs. Vogel can navigate this one. You know, you might as well start building a bust.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
As you heard Steve mention in his update, the Warriors win tonight over the Pistons. And really, okay, yes, they won. The Pistons are not very good. Cade Cunningham is going to be fantastic, but he missed a few games. It's okay. The Warriors win tonight without Steph Curry, without Draymond Green, without Andre Iguodala. Right? They all rested for various bumps and bruises. Steph's hip, we knew last night, was bothering him a little bit, so he sits out tonight. Mm-hmm. Not a surprise. But here's the Warriors winning on the road over the Pistons, and they now improve to 14-2. Right now, yes, okay, it's the Pistons, but let me throw this by, because here's that hot take I was promising on you. So Steph Curry is pretty much the same player this year that he was last year, right? Same play, right? Still really, really good, right? Still fantastic, right? Still a great player. And having the same kind of year, he's not doing anything really different. He's taking one more three a game than he has been, but he's kind of been the same player. He's averaging a couple points less than he averaged last year, but he's doing the same thing, right? Same thing. Last year, everybody wanted him to be the MVP when the Warriors couldn't make the playoffs. I can't give a guy an MVP like that in the NBA when you can't make the playoffs. But everybody wanted to be the MVP. Now, through the first 15-ish games, you see the big push. Oh, Steph is the runaway MVP in the NBA right now. So here's a hot take, because this gets you thinking on it. If Steph Curry was the MVP last year when they couldn't win and they couldn't get in the playoffs, and he's the same player this year that he was last year, how is he the MVP this year when the team is 14-2? If he's the same guy doing the same things, how is Steph Curry the MVP? Right? How is he? If you thought he was last year when, oh, look at what he's doing, they wouldn't be anywhere without him. They didn't make the playoffs. All right? How is he? When you have seen Jordan Poole, who had a huge night tonight, he's made a big jump in year three, right? Draymond Green, who didn't play, but Draymond Green has now rededicated himself. We've talked about how well the supporting cast is playing because they've brought in the right players and they've all gelled really quickly. These are all changes. These are all new things to the Golden State Warriors that they didn't have last year. So if this is the reason why they've gone from a team last year that couldn't even get the eighth spot to a team that's 14-2, how is Steph Curry the MVP? So he's, no matter how he plays, how his team plays, he's the MVP? I mean, think about that. I mean, as good as he is, as good as he's playing, just think about that when you want to just give him the MVP and give him awards like that.
Can I tell you how and why?
Oh, boy. Go ahead. Tell me how.
Because now it's the leadership. The passion, the energy of Steph Curry that is bringing these other players to a whole other level. How do you like that?
Yeah,
while
like
he's got his game that is dominating, and as we expect year after year, the hype, the superlatives. I mean, you run out of words in your thesaurus to talk and describe. Steve Kerr's speechless. I've got nothing left. Look how great Steph is. That's how. Is that all these other guys are now performing around him because they watched and they learned. And through osmosis. Yeah, that's right. We dropped an osmosis. Yeah. And just being in his aura and presence, it's gone to a whole other level. Ergo, he's your MVP.
You know, okay, first of all, you're terrible for saying that. You're an awful person. But secondly,
it was a pretty good argument, though, wasn't it?
His leadership. Oh, but it's just it. Because no one's saying his leadership, right? You talked about Steve Kerr, and every time he talked, what am I going to say about Steph? Look how great the guy is. You know, this is something that Steph Curry enjoys that nobody else in the NBA does. Other guys score 40. Other guys score 45. Other guys score 50. Giannis goes 30 and 18 and 13. But when Steph scores 35, the reaction is, oh, look at how great Steph. What can you say about the guy? He's unbelievable. Giannis can go 35, 18, and 15 and go, yeah, boy, that's a huge night from Giannis, man. You know, 38, 17, that's a big night. But no, but oh, look at Steph. He had 15 in the fourth quarter. Oh, look how great. It's the fans and the media's desire to just continue to inflate Steph Curry when other guys have nights like this. You know, he's not the only guy scoring 29 a game. You know, he's not the only guy that can score 40 and 50. Other guys have done this, but nobody goes crazy about it. But when it's Steph Curry, it's, oh, look at that. He enjoys such a great reputation, better than anybody in the game of basketball, that anybody in the game would give their reputation for his in a second. Oh, I can have Steph Curry? Yes, because you know why? No one's ever going to say anything bad about me. Even when I can't get my shot off at the end of an important playoff game, no one's going to blame me. Every time I have a big game scoring, they're all going to say they love me. Man, I want to be Steph Curry. I want to be so Teflon proof of criticism that it's amazing. And it's not that Steph should get a lot of criticism. It's just no one is fair with, hey, these other guys are having big seasons too. No, but not what Steph does. Whoa. Hang on. Joel Embiid kind of led his team. No, not like Steph. They won 30 more games than the Warriors. No. Like, nobody wants to hear anything other than Steph is the greatest player in the history of the sport, and if you disagree, I'm just going to close my ears and not talk about you and go, la, 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 la. You got to be fair. Be fair about when other guys have big games or treats to, hey, Steph had 35. What a great night he had tonight. That was a big night, right? Same thing I would say for Giannis or LeBron or AD or Julius Randle or Evan Fournier or any of those guys. I would say it for, I would say Kemba Walker, but he only scores like 8 a game. Be the same way for everybody. But when Steph does it, suddenly it's greater than anything else anybody can do.
You know why?
Why?
Because,
don't do
I
it.
Mean,
what?
What? He's a mogul. He's kind. And people relate to him, even though they're still not 6 feet plus. It's like, look at him running around those trees. And look what he can do. I mean, because look, the new generation, it's, you know, not necessarily I want to be like Mike. I want to rain threes like Philip Seymour Hoffman or Steph Curry. That's what the kids are doing these days.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, our upset special picks of the week in college football and the NFL. Mike and I put our records on the line straight ahead. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
And now they're banging each other.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, buddy.
Mike and I do this every single week. No, not just the show. No, we give you our upset special picks against the spread. We always take from college football at least one NFL game and give you big upset special picks. This week is no different. 2-2 last week. I'm sitting at 20-12 overall. We're going to kick things off with our upset special picks first in college football. And Mike, I'm going to give you Arkansas and 21 over Alabama. Look, Alabama's had trouble with the SEC to the point where, hey, the blowouts aren't quite there. Their games have been closer. Arkansas is pretty good. They score points. They play good enough defense. They've been hot. Alabama still wins, but 21 is a lot of points. This is like one of those 38-24 Alabama wins that's somewhat close at halftime. You'll sweat it out a little bit because it will get close to the number, but three touchdowns is still three touchdowns. Give me Arkansas.
I had a game I liked until the coach announced he was out with COVID, and that's in the Big Ten with Illinois at Iowa, because a robust 12-point spread, and we know what Iowa is offensively most games. Illinois, one of the teams in the nation that turns the ball over fewest. I think just 8 turnovers on the year at last count, if I do my math correctly. But Bielema not being there, that leaves me reticent to go down that rabbit hole. So I am going to move to another game. I'm going to look at the Iowa State Cyclones. They're getting 3.5 at Oklahoma. So, looking for Brock Purdy and that offense to make some noise. They're losers of two of their last three, but overall still just giving up 20.5 points per game. Opportunity doth knock here, and I think it creates a little more chaos. So, let's go.
And I think the Texas Tech announcers get to call the Iowa State game this week. I think that's part of their penance for.
Yeah, that's a whole other story if you want to go and go deeper on that. I'll just say that it I don't know which is more asinine if we put up a poll. That and the announcers not being able to do the game because of their questioning of referees and all of that, or just the talking points that coaches are going forward with in the NFL over the idiotic taunting penalty. Think of the children.
It's obvious.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
Iowa
Matt Nagy.
State to win this game.
Sorry.
Yeah. So NFL, I'm going to the big game. Look, there's no game bigger than Kansas City and Dallas.
Right.
And give me the Cowboys getting three because the Cowboys are the better team. They're the better team up and down their roster. They're the better team on offense. They're the better team defensively. I know conventional wisdom and a lot of experts and hey, the Chiefs have solved their problems. No, they beat a couple of bad teams, and yes, they beat the Raiders. And this doesn't mean they've solved everything. The Cowboys are much better. They're on a different level. Their offense will have a big day. Doesn't matter. They're missing Amari Cooper. Makes no difference. Michael Gallup will just jump right in and catch a lot of passes. This offense is loaded. Everybody's going to have a big day. Pollard will have a big day. Ezekiel Elliott will have a big day. Robert Newhouse will have a big day. Cowboys will win this game 38-28. They'll get a couple of turnovers from Patrick Mahomes that'll help seal the game, and they'll win this by double digits. 38-28. Give me the Cowboys.
Home dog. 2.5 points. 47.5. The total. Minnesota, tough luck losers. Woo! A number of times this year, but an offense that can get after it. Jefferson, Thielen, little Osborne on the wings of love, Dalvin Cook, and Alexander Madison. It's a musical time. And Kirk Cousins, people go through the numbers and actually take a look. They're like, wow, he's really been that efficient this year? Yeah, some tough luck losses. And they're also among the leagues. So let's go. The Vikings winning the NFC North divisional battle against those Packers.
It's a big pick. It's a lot of people like the Vikings this week. That's a big pick.
That was one of my points of reticence, though, Smith, was as soon as it becomes the popular pick for popular people, I get a little upset. But picking the Bears with all the defensive issues, I wouldn't be surprised to see them beat the Ravens, but trying to do it when you're missing that many key components on defense against a guy like Lamar Jackson, I think it's tough sledding. And I mentioned it earlier. I think Seattle wins. I don't think it's pretty, that 48.5. I don't think we reach that total because I don't think either offense, especially if Colt McCoy's under center, is going to be that coherent and able to churn out points. But give me Seattle in a close one.
There it is, our upset special picks of the week. If you miss any of them, any of the show is over on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it is there. Rate us, subscribe. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. Coming up next, more big news out of the NFL as guess who's now a starting quarterback? Fox.